Hey folks, I'm here to tell you about HelloGiggles.com. Founded by actress-musician Zoe Deschanel, producer Sophia Rossi, and blogger web personality Molly McAleer, HelloGiggles.com is the ultimate entertainment destination for smart, independent, and creative females. Everything hosted on the site will be lady-friendly, so visitors need not worry about finding the standard boys club that makes many entertainment sites unappealing to so many of us. So many of us ladies. So go to HelloGiggles.com, find out what's going on. All right, let's get down.
And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here?
Johnny, I'm your host. Welcome to the show. I have a fantastic show for you guys today. It's a great show, perfect for the Christmas week. My guests are the Trishas. Yes, all of them are here. Savannah Welch, Kelly McQuey, Jamie Lynn Wilson, and Liz Foster, all in the house. They came over early one Sunday morning a few weeks ago after they opened for the band Heathens for their 10-year reunion show. Got them all to come over at like 9 in the morning, and we sat down and giggled and talked about the history of the Trishas, what's going on with them individually. Some of them are out playing. Kelly McQuey's out playing. You can find her at kellymcquey.com. Jamie Lynn Wilson is out playing. You can find her at jamielynnwilson.com. And of course, the one person that wasn't here, that isn't an official, like, of the four Trishas, but is a member of the Trishas, Brandi Zidan. She has a new album out called Brandi Zidan. It's a self-titled album. You can find it at brandizidan.com. It came out in November. Anyway, great conversation with the Trishas. A lot of laughs, a lot of history of the band, how the band got together, all the babies, what they're doing now, all kinds of stuff. Great conversation. Stick around for that. The Trishas coming up in just a minute. Let me tell you what's going on with me. It is Christmas week. It's the end of the year. I did this intro last week because I went to Houston to spend the week with my family. Doing that, saw Star Wars. I go to my Facebook page, the How Did I Get Here Facebook page, and look, I'll put a review up there, a non-spoiler review. Star Wars is awesome, probably is what it's going to say. Anyway, end of the year lists coming out, all the songs, the big tunes coming out. I decided I'm going to make a Spotify playlist, which if you go to, well, you can find me on Spotify, I'm at Johnny Gowdy, but if you just go to the How Did I Get Here Facebook page, like it, I'll be posting stuff. I'll post a link to my Spotify playlist of a couple playlists. I kind of went through the last year of people that have been on the podcast and tunes of theirs that I like, and I put together a list of like 32 songs. I mean, so many great albums came out. Quiet Company came out, Little Brave, Migrant Kids, Tapes, Flanagan's album, The Drifter came out, Sweet Spirit came out, Max Frost has put out some singles that are great, Joe King Carrasco put out a tough-ass album, Moving Panoramas, absolutely amazing album, Frank Turner, who's not from Austin, but he was on the podcast, English Dude, great record. Great talking to him, too. And even The Exiles put out a record. Billy Harvey put out a record. Just great albums, left and right. I'm not even saying all of them. You know, Don and Hawks, Franchise, all the people. So go to the How Did I Get Here Facebook page. I'll post a Spotify playlist of songs that I dug from the year. I don't know if I'm going to do a regular one. I was into that Courtney Barnett record. Hey, I've been listening to Adele. I love the Bully album. Of course, they were on the show in 2014. Anyway, look, man, I'm going to make a list of my favorite songs that I've heard. It's been a great year for music. Tons and tons of music comes out. People are complaining that the music business is dying, but people are still putting out amazing music, and that's really what matters, right? Is that the good stuff is still getting to you. You can find it. You can find it on my Spotify playlist of podcast artists who put out albums this year that I liked, okay? I hope that you have a great, great, great holiday, that you're surrounded by loved ones and just at least surrounded by love, all right? I was surrounded by love a couple weeks ago when I sat down with Savannah Welch, Kelly McQuey, Jamie Lynn Wilson, and Liz Foster, otherwise known as the Trishas, who rarely get together now, but they do get together and they do shows. They said that maybe there will be some music in their future together, more collaborations, more things. Enjoy my conversation. It's a long one. It's a fun one. They're hilarious, and Kelly McQuey whispers a lot. Enjoy my conversation with the Trishas. Merry Christmas. Let's get down.
I recall a seeing it today. I never felt a thing until you looked at me that way. Until I touched your skin, until you turned and walked away. But I recall it clearly like I'm seeing it today. Your skin, it smelled of sweat and smoke and little sweet cigars. Ceiling stained with years of troubled hearts and covered scars. And your hand had held my own right through the corridor of cars. Wells and shooting stars. And I could have told you, darling, it would end up like this. When you're kissed by a fool, then you're fooled by a kiss. And I believe you, baby, and you're still the lying tongue. You were handsome and older. I was foolish and young.
You should have had the tape rolling the whole time.
Kill's, should have. Kill's real excited.
You know, I deleted a couple. I deleted two right after I did one. I did two back to back, and it was Dan Dyer, and we were talking while I was turning off the machine, and it said, "Do you want to save?" And I pushed no while I was talking to him, and then I realized what I did, and I couldn't stop it. There was no... Yeah, once you say you don't want to save it, then it goes into the abyss.
It doesn't say, "Are you sure you want to cancel?"
I think it said, "Are you sure?" And I said, "Yes."
And it was like, "Are you doubly sure?" And you were like, "Definitely yes."
And I'm like, "Oh, no." That's my favorite thing.
Okay.
It has all the... Amazing. Whoopee is the sound you're looking for.
What's Whoopee?
Was that a cough clap? Like a Whoopee cushion? There you go.
I thought it was like a Whoopee.
How was the show last night? You guys played with the Band of Heathens 10-year anniversary concert.
It was good. It was cold.
Yeah?
But yeah, it was really fun. And it was good to get to see all the people that used to play with them that haven't in a long time that we haven't gotten to see. Like Colin was there. And
oh, okay.
Brian Keene was there.
I haven't seen Brian Keene in a long time.
You should have come.
I should have. I'm sorry. Okay. It was cold.
It was cold.
And raining.
It was raining.
Yeah. The people were out there. I mean,
they were out there living.
A full crowd.
Yeah. Well, you live in Nashville, Liz?
I am. I've been there for about 2 years now.
Are you playing a lot or anything?
Not really.
You're the hardest one to find online.
Really?
Yeah, of all the Trishas.
I have all of my stuff private.
Yeah.
That's probably why.
And she's not letting you in.
Yeah. Okay. No.
That's your last question.
Yeah.
So, Kelly.
But no, I'm trying to get into it more. It took me a little while to get settled in, you know, around.
Into Nashville?
Yeah, and just to get to know, like, the people that you think you could kind of jam with or write with. So,
right.
I'm getting there.
What does it take outside of money to for you guys? Because now there's like a bio thing on your tour dates. It's like, hey, and these guys just get together just to play occasional tours and shows. So what is it outside of money that would make you guys, that you guys be like the Heathen show?
Mm-hmm. Fun.
Okay.
And lots of money. That's Kelly, we should just say now, Kelly has lost her voice. So she'll be whispering things into our ear. Yeah.
Kelly's very emotional in the morning, so she likes to have sensitive voice.
She's not ready.
So you guys got together 6 years ago, and then you put out one record 3 years ago? 3 years ago?
No? 3 years ago.
Three years ago now. And you haven't really been on the regular playing for a year and a half, 2 years?
Two.
Yeah, about two in January.
Okay, so outside of fun and money, like, do you guys try and find things that you can do together? Is there a thought that maybe you're going to record again together in some way, all of you as the Trishas, or?
I don't think that we've talked about that. Okay. Y'all want to talk about that right now?
Yeah,
I mean, I
this
would
is
like
good.
To.
That's what I try to get sure. going on my show. The serious moments.
I think that there are moments of, hey, we should record that song, and we should, you know, like a single or a little EP or, you know, release something here or there. But I bet that we do at some point. But
yeah.
I can't imagine not ever working up any new songs.
Yeah.
Okay.
At this point.
Yeah, really. Yeah, really. And that means, too, though, like, there's a lot of, like, the very first songs that we did together that aren't recorded that we have people ask for all the time. Like, I wish I had a recording of this song or that song. Mm-hmm. So I can also see us laying some of those down, too.
Yeah.
Greatest hits for the first time.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think people's first records should be called their greatest hits.
Yeah.
always.
Yeah.
Did you move to Nashville to play, Liz, or did you?
Oh, well, that's a long story. I moved there at the time for a relationship I was in, but then just decided to stay.
Let me tell you.
And then after I was there, I figured I might as well try it for a little bit. And I like it. I mean, obviously, I like Texas more, but it's a good experience to be there for a little bit and do something different. So
you plan on coming back? You're just there kind of
living?
For the time being.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
but it's great.
She's working for a moonshine company.
Yeah, that's what I saw on your thing. How are you enjoying that? Moonshine. What do you do there?
I love it. So we launched it about 2 years ago.
Okay.
And so I focus on our company culture and like our recruiting and career development and things like that. So
she does a lot.
I love it.
She does like five people's jobs.
But it's great. It's a great company. The people are awesome. And it's a very authentic product that I can respect and get behind for sure. So.
Okay. Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Savannah, you are acting a lot. Mm-mm. I see. No.
Okay. Oh, go ahead. Acting you see how? What? You, it looks like I am. This great. I need this in my daily life.
You know what I love is that you've actually taken on the characteristics of the Marx Brothers with you now being Harpo. You just need a little horn.
Yeah. That's true.
Do you need a mustache?
Go ahead.
So I see you in movies, and I was gonna write down all of your. I went to your acting website,
IMDb.
Your agent's.
Oh yeah.
Site,
mm-hmm.
And I went through your resume.
Okay.
And then I was gonna make you go through your special skills to find out if you lied about any of them.
Yeah, like volleyball.
Oh yes. I haven't edited that.
There's like soccer and stuff like that.
Hell yeah. I made that list on
bareback
my first resume
well.
When I was like 19 years old and when I got my first agent. Okay. Soccer, you know, I mean, Charlie and I play in the backyard a little bit. You know, a little kicking the ball around. No, I played soccer. Growing up.
Okay.
Like, if you had to play a soccer player, you could totally do it.
Well, that's the thing, is like, because they want to look at it and be like, can she do this? And for example, I booked a commercial that required me to drive a stick.
Oh, yeah.
And
you couldn't.
I had never driven a stick before, but for that kind of money, I was like, yes, I can.
Yeah.
I will do that. And and I learned the night before.
That's good.
So, you know, when they look at that and they're like, I wonder if this chick can
so
ride
then did
a bareback,
you add manual transmission
bareback.
To your list of
I don't know.
Things?
I don't remember. You know, it's stupid, but it's like, it's so that you can say, yeah, I'll do that.
Right. What about music outside of acting? Like, do you stuff on your own? I mean, I see you collaborating with other people, singing with your dad and your brother.
Yeah.
But, like, what else? Is there a Savannah? Like,
yeah.
Are you always kind of working on a Savannah thing?
Well, you know, in my daydreams, in my shower, Kelly says no. I don't know. Maybe sometime, someday.
Yeah, no, you're not like
you're writing right now, though. A lot, right?
Yeah, I've been writing.
On your own or with others? Yeah.
On my own and with others too, okay. Kind of. I mean, I'm trying to. It's hard to find time. That's my main battle. Is just finding time.
Yeah.
Because it's something I really want to do, but yeah.
It's hard. I mean, you live in Dallas and you come down here a lot for auditions. Are there a lot of auditions up there?
None. None in there.
Really?
No. I mean,
it's weird.
It is weird. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what's going on there because I think that they've got some stuff happening. They're shooting a HBO series right now there.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So there's stuff. You know, it's just a matter of. Todd's blowing me up.
Oh no. We're all in trouble.
We're in so much trouble. It's just a matter of like. You know, the agent getting those same breakdowns and submitting you for them, and you know,
right?
Yeah.
Do Do you audition well? Did I ask you that last time?
Oh.
That's always a question I always ask actors because my attempts have been off. I've either gotten the thing when I walked in, mm-hmm. or like I busted out laughing one time when I was trying to do something serious in a thing, and I just was like, guys, I can't do this, man.
Yeah.
So I know my friend Billy Harvey's a good auditioner, and he took classes on auditioning.
Oh, wow.
I did.
Yeah, it's serious.
He did. Who did he take with?
I don't know.
I could see Billy being a good auditioner.
He advised me because he was like, oh, I was terrible at it. Because when I did laugh, he's a guy I called, and I was like, man, I did really bad today. How do I?
Yeah.
Is there someone I can talk to about this? Because.
Yeah, I've never taken a class on auditioning, like, specifically. Like, there's been classes that I've been in that are, like, a whole session of classes, and that's one thing that we cover in it, you know?
Right.
Or just talking to other actors for tips.
What do they tell you? Just, like, don't think about it?
Well, yeah. I mean, there's nothing that you can do, like... you know, you never know what they're looking for. You have no idea what the writer, the producer, there's politics involved, possibly, and you never know what they're looking for. So all you can do is just go in there and do your best job, you know, and just try, you know, do your interpretation of what that character, what that scene might be, and then whatever. And then you have to let it go.
Yeah.
And that was like, that's the main tip that I would give is just let it go. You know, you just go in, you do your thing.
Can't hold after it back that, anymore.
What?
You guys were in some movies together as a group.
Yes.
I saw you guys singing Christmas carols to Harry Connick Jr.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah. How did you
to audition for that.
No, they just wanted you. They saw you guys and like, hey, will you guys do this?
I think Savannah auditioned for the movie.
Actually, that's a good audition story. Yeah. I was called in to audition for a different role, for like a waitress role or something, you know, through my agent. And I went in there, and the director was in there that day, and the casting director, Beth Sepko, and Beth said something, I guess, tipped him off. I was like, oh, she plays music. And so he was like, we have a guitar. Can you play a couple songs? And, I mean, that was the kind of movie where they were having anybody play a song that could play a guitar, you know, because there's so much music. And so I played a couple songs, and then he asked me some more questions about my band. And I guess he looked us up, and then I didn't get the waitress role, but he cast my band.
You didn't get to play the waitress. You got to play yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a cameo.
Well, that's good. And you guys were in another movie? I saw like a bit of another movie. What was that?
There was a movie called Billy Bates.
Oh, okay.
And that was a writer-director from New York named Jen D'Elia. And I was cast in that as kind of a longer story than it needs to be. But I got cast in that. She came down here for some pre-production, and we were just... in pre-production, kind of talking character development and that kind of thing. And she said, you know, I'm really starting to feel like your character is a songwriter, like a singer-songwriter. And at the time, I was like over playing roles that involved music.
Yeah.
I mean, not that I'd done a ton,
nurse.
But I was like, oh, really?
Yeah.
You know? And because I wasn't really a musician, I wasn't a performer performing music. So... That's not my wheelhouse. That's not my comfort zone.
Right.
Whatever at the time. And so I was like, okay. And she came and saw a Trisha show at the Saxon. I mean, this was right when we first got together and we were playing the Saxon pub, and then she said, and I think that your character is in a girl band. And so then she cast the girls as the band.
There you go.
Bada boom.
No big deal.
Now, you guys, are all of you guys SAG people?
Are we just
Savannah? No.
No, and I'm actually not either.
Oh, you're not?
I'm just SAG eligible.
Yeah, like, yeah, that's what the little E is.
Am I SAG?
Yeah.
I was going to ask that.
Well,
I didn't know what it was.
It's SAG eligible. This is a right-to-work state, which is different than California.
Okay.
So if you're SAG, it's harder to work on non-union projects, but if you're just eligible, it means you can do SAG or... on union.
Okay.
Anyway.
But I do have an IMDb page.
But you Kelly do. Has
Kelly
IMDb
Mickwey
page.
Has her own IMDb page. You were here last time when you put out. You used to live here, right, Kelly? That's when you were here by yourself. As you write on my grandfather's antiquated.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yes, she says.
Are you still doing good? We had a good time that time. Oh, and one time, you know what? You texted me and you were like, hey, man, I just heard you on the radio or something.
I did.
Uh-huh. And then I think 4 days later, I wrote, like, who's this?
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah.
And then when you wrote back, like, it's Kelly. Kelly. And I felt so bad. I was like, oh, there goes that
it's
friendship.
Kelly. I was just at your house.
Yeah. No, no, no. It was a few months after.
I said, it's Kelly. And then you didn't say anything after that.
Oh, that was the shame. I was. Was I think shame. I spent. I think I spent like a whole day. Seriously, do you do that?
Crash and burn.
Yeah, we had a good time.
Yeah,
that was a good one.
I had a good time talking to you. Yeah. All right, but you could rest your voice.
Okay.
Namaste in bed.
Namaste in bed.
Jamie.
Yes. I can answer for Kelly.
You can?
Yeah, can I do Kelly's interview?
Yes.
No, do your own.
God, that would have been fun.
You have a new relatively new album out that came out this year. Holidays and Wedding Rings.
Mm-hmm. Came out in May.
Yeah. And you live in?
Dehennis.
Where?
Dehennis. It's like Dennis, but like you cough.
But what? Where Dehennis. Is that?
It's west of San Antonio.
Oh, okay. So yeah, you're still in Texas.
Minutes. Yeah.
Okay. What's out there for you?
My husband.
Okay.
Okay. Our house. That's where he's from.
Okay.
Well, he's from Yancey, which is if he heard me say that he's from Dehennis, he would shoot me. So I'm going to not say that. But he went to high school there.
He doesn't sound like a very nice man. No, I'm joking.
No, he wouldn't shoot me, but he would be like, I'm not from Dehennis. He's we live there. That's where his whole family's from, and that's where he went to high school and stuff. And it's great. It's like Mayberry. It's a nice little town.
Do you get out? You get out and play a lot.
Yeah,
yeah. You've been out touring, supporting this record.
Yeah.
And how's that been? Are you playing with a band? Are you playing by yourself?
Both.
Yeah.
Probably half and half. I just go do solo acoustic shows and. You know, tell a lot of stories and talk a lot and get nervous and make jokes. And then I do full band shows, you know, sometimes. It's a lot of fun. I lose money that way, but it's way more fun.
Yeah.
To have a big band.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question because there's a... I think I first saw you guys at the... like Austin's 9/11 concert, which was when Todd Wolfson hurt his head and broke his arm. I think that's when I first saw you guys. Was that like 2010? Or no? No, I think I saw you. I must have seen you before then.
No. What show is I don't that? Know when if you would have before then. When did we get together?
Todd Wolfson.
2009.
2009. Okay.
So, yeah.
January, yeah.
Okay. So then, when was that? Like in 2010?
When Toddy hit his head.
Yeah.
I can ask him. I'm messaging
him ask him.
Right now, it was probably 2010.
Okay, so I saw you guys there. You had this amazing vocal blend, and there was like such a buzz about you guys. Mm-hmm. Like such a buzz. Like you could feel this sort of thing, and like when you guys were about to go on stage, I remember, I think we played maybe right before you guys or something. Mm.
Where was this?
Is that Antone's?
Antone's.
At the Todd Wolfson Memorial
Concert. The Memorial Concert.
Free Todd Wolfson.
Yeah, it's freetoddwolfson.com.
I'm trying to think of all the names that I gave that event. But I know Skyrocket. But anyway, we played. Okay, so then you guys went on stage, and then there you were, this band, this new band, the Trishas. I knew, I was just going to call her Steven. Savannah.
Steven.
Yeah, I know.
That's my dad's middle name. That's weird.
I know. It's totally weird.
Pants, isn't it? Steven Tyler Pants.
Yeah, Steven Tyler Pants.
Oh, no.
Oh, Steven Tyler Pants. But I knew her. But then all of a sudden when you guys sang and you, there was a beautiful harmony blend that was very unique to you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Like you discovered this sort of thing that all people that have harmonies, like, you know, you can tell it's... you know, a Beatle harmony or like, you know, the Bee Gees or the Beach Boys and this kind of thing. And then there's, you guys had your thing. How did you, okay, there's a story about Crosby, Stills and Nash being at like Joni Mitchell's house, and she's like, "Oh, and you guys sing," and when they sang, everyone was like, "Whoa!" Mm-hmm. Let's. Yeah. When was that? Did you guys have that moment where you all sang and went like, "Wow, let's explore this"?
Well, we were. The reason that we even got together in the first place was for Savannah's dad for a tribute to uh-huh. Kevin, and at Steamboat, like Savannah, they wanted Savannah to sing a song at his tribute, and like she said, she wasn't a performing musician at the time, I guess, and so I think they when she got,
so I said no,
I'm yeah, an actor.
Yeah, well, I think that you were nervous or had stage fright or like I don't want to do it by myself, kind of a thing. So we got recruited to kind of back her up and be a group for her at the tribute, so that she.
How many songs did you do?
We did two.
We learned three.
We learned three.
Two of them.
But there was that moment we kicked Kevin out of his house one day for our first practice ever, and first time that I had ever hung out with Liz. Mm-hmm. And I kind of knew Savannah from Momo's back in the day. I knew Kelly, and we were all getting to know each other. And then we're like, okay, cool. Well, let's try this song. And we hit the one note, you know, like all of a sudden,
yeah,
we're
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Holy, let's call our moms. And
we call our moms. Wait, wait. We're like jumping up and down, like teenagers.
We really
like,
called
that
our
was
moms.
Really good, guys. Let's do that again. Let's see if that happens again, because that was cool.
Yeah.
We were standing
like,
in
once
a circle.
We all hit the right, our spots, you know, and yeah. figured out where we were going to be. Then
we were in a little cabin on my dad's property, and actually the cabin that Charlie was born in too.
Oh.
And that was yeah, we were standing in a circle with all our phones on speakerphone on the floor.
All our flip
in
phones.
The middle. All our flip phones. And yeah, we had moms on the phone, and we were like, "Hey, listen to what we're doing." Uh-huh. But that I think that probably for all of us, I would think that was the moment, was when we all hit our notes and got it right that first time, and we were like, whoa.
That's also the first time all four of us were in the same room together, right. ever.
Ever.
Oh,
so
wow.
We didn't know, because I worked at that time for Dixon Productions that puts on the festival that her
okay.
dad was the tribute.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And when Vinny was like, "I don't know if I want to do that or not," John Dixon was like, "Make it happen."
Yeah.
So I talked to Vanny, and then Vanny talked to Kelly. Kelly talked to Jamie, and then we all met together for the first time.
And it was going to be Kathleen as well.
Oh, yeah, and Kathleen O'Keefe was going to do it, too. She's the fifth Beatle.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And then yeah. She didn't show up to that first practice, so we nixed her.
Why did she feel dumb after that? She's like, "Oh, no, I don't really feel like going tonight. I'm kind of tired."
Yeah, I'm kind of tired. I'm not going
to I don't feel like doing that.
That sounds dumb.
You know, I mean, we thought
girl
that it was...
band.
Yeah. We thought it was just for that one thing. It was just going to be a one-off.
So what...
Just the tribute.
How did that snowball into the Trishas?
Well, we did those two songs at the tribute, and then afterwards...
And it was a huge crowd, right?
It was
and
a huge
crowd. It wasn't just audience people.
It was...
There's a lot of artists.
There's a... Yeah, it happens
a lot of
year.
Enablers.
There's a tribute at this deal, but it's really for the artists, you know, more so for...
Sure.
Like, you know, than for the fans. Like, it's in yeah. the middle of the day, and... And it's really for the artist to be able to come and, you know, show someone who influenced them that they appreciate what they do.
Right.
You know, and so the crowd is all of the artists, and then, and you know, family, and like kind of it's the industry people of
yeah.
the festival. And then maybe half is crowd,
okay.
you know, fans.
So you guys but, debuted in front of the right people to
right.
sort of launch something.
And after we got off stage, Gary Hartman asked us if we wanted to come and have a gig at San Marcos, like at the Texas State. He was like, "So are y'all available in February to come and do this?"
We're like, "No, State. We're not.
We're not a band."
It's Kelly's input. I love it. Yeah. You should have this all day long.
Yeah. I know. Every gig. You also need that. The Homer Simpson in your pocket. That's a good one. Or it's like, dope.
So with yeah. people offering you gigs, then you guys eventually...
We said no.
Well, and Ray...
You said no.
Ray Hubbard yeah. offered us to come, also, right, to come and play his festival. I think it was that same night or a couple days later.
Yeah.
But he... Yeah. And
it was like, if y'all can learn... you know, 30 minutes or 45 minutes or whatever, because they were offering us gigs and we knew literally three songs.
Yeah, three songs.
You know, and we're like,
and
no.
They were all Kevin, I mean, we were a Kevin Welch cover band at that yeah, point. Yeah, Kevin Welch
cover band. A great band.
And we were all doing other things. It was kind of like the perfect storm of, you know, timing. Like, I was quitting my band. Kelly had just broken up with her band. Liz was out of her band. And so we were all kind of looking for things to do, you know, like, I don't know.
Everyone had plans.
You know, we had plans, life. But we also were kind of open at the same time.
Yeah.
So then it just kind of worked. Like,
yeah.
We first of all, I remember meeting up and deciding if we could be friends. Like, there were moments of like getting, because to be a band, like, you have to like each other,
especially an all girl
band, and we were all kind of guys girls. Like, we were all in guy bands.
Yeah.
Like, where we were the only girl, and then all of a sudden we were going to be an all-girl band, and that sounds horrible to me. I said sounds.
I'm in one.
You're in an all-girl band?
Yeah, Savannah was one of the original members.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a good time. That was a good time.
Johnny Gowdy and the Gowdettes.
I like how Gowdette is the female form of my name.
I mean, Johnette.
Johnette. No, now it's called Lady Band Johnson. But it is hard. I mean, the very first, like before that Lady Band, I put together a Lady Band, and all it was one rehearsal, and one girl went to the bathroom, and like three of the other girls were like, I don't like her. And I was like, oh, okay. I'm not going to do this band right now.
Nope. Wow.
So I was like, yeah, that's too weird.
I'm surprised that you tried it with girls after that.
I realized that I needed...
We're all equal, but...
I realized that I just kind of went around and went like, oh, I like that person the way that person does that. I like that person the way that person does that. And I didn't look at...
Personality. What,
yeah.
It's way more... A band is way more about personality than it is about skill, because you can learn. Like, a person can learn how to play music.
Yeah.
You can't learn how to be cool.
No.
You
mean, you kind of can, but...
You can't learn how to, like, not be an
a-hole. We're slowly teaching Kelly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kelly's on the open.
When you guys allow her to talk again, she's going to really be nice.
She's searching. She's searching
for the right button.
So...
That print... I want something really... Where does it say awkward sound?
So how did you guys realize you were friends? I thought this was going to be... I thought you guys would... Oh, like, when you were all together, it would be like this. Like, a lot of laughing and...
Yeah.
And, yeah, I like
Thanks
that.
For... I listen to podcasts a lot, and whenever people are making inside jokes the whole time, I hate it, and I switch. So I'm sorry about
Oh, you
that.
Do?
Yeah. I mean, so I feel like I'm not
What
part
podcast
of it.
Do you listen to?
I listen to this one sometimes.
Okay.
Mark Maron.
WTF.
Yeah. He cusses a lot. So I have to not do that with kids in the car.
Okay.
I have to be by myself, and I'm not often by myself.
She has three kids.
Three kids, yeah.
I listen to Overheard with Evan Smith. Is a really good one. He does that here in Austin at KLRU studio.
Okay.
And whenever y'all were talking about the audition,
uh-huh.
I was like, man, this is just like I'm in Overheard right now.
Yeah.
I love
See?
This. I would totally listen to this.
Well, listen to the first 5 minutes of this podcast where I talk to Savannah exclusively about her acting career and how difficult it is to audition. how you have
All
to
the
have
auditions that
face.
We've bombed.
We've talked about a lot of stuff. You're a doula.
Yeah.
Yes.
You, and
she delivered my baby.
She did?
Yeah.
No way.
It was the first birth that I assisted was Jamie Lynn's third baby.
How did,
Last
wow.
August, 2 Augusts ago.
How was that being in a music career with three kids?
It's hard. You just, I don't know.
I mean, that just seems hard.
Yeah, I have an incredible support system.
Okay, because that's definitely
like
the first thing.
Like Right now, they're at my mother-in-law's house, which is next door.
Okay.
But she has to leave town at 11, and my sister-in-law's there. She's leaving town at 11:30. I'm not getting back until 12:30, and my husband's not getting there till 1, so there's like an hour and a half of no kid watching. So I got a teenager to go over there.
Oh, okay.
I was like,
so the 5-year-old's in charge.
I was like, hey, Mallory, go sit with my kids until I get home. Okay. You know, like, it's just it's a logistics nightmare. But everybody... is really supportive of what I do, and they want to help.
Good.
And I'm really lucky.
Your album's really good. I want to tell people that they can pick up this album called Holidays and Wedding Rings at jamielynnwilson.com. And your Lynn is L-I-N.
L-I-N, yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, I'll ship it straight to you from my
Did I say
room.
Wilson or Williams?
I don't know.
I think you said Wilson.
You said Wilson.
Okay.
Wilson. Yeah. Thanks.
Okay. Now I get it because Jerry Lynn Williams.
Oh, yeah.
You know that guy?
Yeah. Nice. No, I don't, but I'll look him up now.
Very strange cat. Oh. Songwriter guy. I think he's a Nashville songwriter guy now. Yeah. He used to travel. He lives in Tulsa or something. And he would travel around. He wrote like Eric Clapton hits. And I was supposed to write with him one time, and I went and met him at his bus that was parked in the parking lot of a place. And he was so weird that like I was really intimidated by how smart and weird he was. Mm-hmm. I was like, I can't keep up in this situation at all. Yeah, yeah. I can't be your straight man, dude. Yeah. And I left. Yeah. Okay. What about songwriting? So when you guys started getting together, then all of a sudden there's like, okay, it's kind of a gold mine. I mean, when I saw you guys, I was like, oh, someone's, you know, this is going to do really well. These guys are amazing musicians. They sing beautifully together. They have, you have a thing, and you're beautiful women.
Well, thank you.
I mean, that's...
You would think. One would think.
One would think that would be a success. But I know that a lot of people rallied. I know that you guys work with a lot of people. So Kelly and I talked about when she was here, about when you guys started doing co-writes and stuff, and you got a publishing deal, and how soon after you guys getting together did all that stuff start happening?
We started playing gigs in March of 2009. Our South by was our first show, and then we kind of decided that we were going to go all in, I guess, by that summer. And then I think September is whenever we got an agent and a manager. So,
I mean, that's a pretty fast, that stuff doesn't normally, bands don't normally get together in January.
Right.
And 2 months after they decide to take it seriously, they have an agent and a manager and stuff.
Yeah, we know that. So our booking agent, who was our booking agent the whole time we were touring, he was at our very first show that we played, like, okay, we're going to work up some songs. We'll work up whatever it was, 45 minutes.
That morning.
Set that literally. Morning of it was a South by thing in March, and he was one of the few guys sitting there, and he had booked Jamie's
he was my agent from the Gougers,
so he was a friend but he basically said to us then, like, this is
that was
cool
okay.
Yeah,
but he
you have
said
potential. I drove there's some I rode more to away do. From with him, like, I was in his car and he was like, that was you guys have potential.
Interesting.
Let's talk in 6 months. And so then we got our manager right after that, too.
And who was your manager? What?
Steve Hoiberg. He and Clint, our agent, they used to work at an agency together in Nashville at APA.
Okay.
And then Hoiberg had just quit being an agent and started managing again.
Okay.
And so they were kind of a little team already. And then they as a team decided to be our team.
Okay.
So.
And then I would say the following summer is when we got the publishing deal with Warner Chappell. And right?
Yeah, because I was pregnant when we were going around all those meetings.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then
we were offered like a Sony developmental deal, I guess, in the spring. Because
Joni's in our signing picture.
Oh, yeah.
She's like 6 weeks old.
Yeah. Oh.
That's right. like signing our deal with Warner Chappell, and Joni's tiny. Sitting on my lap.
And we turned down the developmental deal from Sony.
When someone gives you or offers you a development deal, what is it?
What are the
it's
terms?
Like a spec? Is it like a, you make some stuff, and if we like it, we hang on to you?
Yes. That's what it is.
Here's, but you can't
release anything. Here's $20,000. Yeah, of course.
Yeah. And you can't go anywhere else, and you can't, you know, and you're ours until you release something that we like.
They full-on develop you.
It's basically like, here's this band. They've got some stuff going on. I don't know if they're ready to make an album, but I don't want anyone else to get them.
Put them on hold.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's almost like a defensive signing.
Yeah, takes them off the table. And we were just uninterested in doing that.
That's good. And did you, I mean, obviously you have your dad, you have managers, you have, obviously tons of friends in the business that have gone through stuff. Did you run that stuff by them? And like, people are like, don't get a development deal. That's stupid.
Well, ooh.
That's fine. I'll get it.
Nice ring.
Oh, okay.
We're taking
You don't
over.
Get it. I'll get it.
It's just my aunt.
It's just hi, Aunt Pat.
Man, I get a lot of text messages early in the morning from people.
Hmm. Are they all saying, what's your gate code?
No, AJ Vallejo sends me these weird emojis in the morning that freak me out.
That's nice. Cute. Okay.
It is cute, yeah. Okay, so sorry. So,
yeah, I mean, we have friends that were in our same position, you know, years before or whatever. And we sat there in that meeting with the head of Sony and his girl. What was
Renee.
Her name? Renee. And
with the head of Sony and Renee.
And Renee. With Joe Galani. Like, little Joe Galani. And he...
You're not going to get any Sony deals anytime soon.
Call well, you know that it doesn't matter because you know what he did?
What?
That
little guy?
Yes. I looked at... Like, we were talking to him, like, very honestly and said, like, what if we develop ourselves right out of what you're interested in? Like, then what happens? And they were like, well, then we would put you on one of our subsidiary labels and let them. And I was like, those subsidiary labels are not in this room with us right now, like trying to get us in there. Like, they're not going to be on our team. You're on our team right now. We don't want to be over there. And then I said, I was like, well, the thing is that we have a lot of friends that have been with Sony that recorded records that never came out. And I named like three of them.
Right.
That y'all still own the rights to their records, and it's been 10 years and they never have been able to release anything. And they're like, well, those people got stuck in the middle of a shuffle between RCA, like the
how
merger.
How are you not going to get that?
And I said, how do you know that's not going to happen with us? Like, how do you know that? And, well, we're not going anywhere. Remember, like, he looked, we're not going anywhere. We're going to be here. We're not going anywhere. And like a month later, that little bastard resigned. A month later, like, and he didn't even quit. Like, it wasn't even like he resigned and then started another thing.
Yeah.
Like, he lied to us straight to our face.
That's what they do in this business. I mean,
in this business.
Was that part like just not fun? Because you guys seem like people, you seem like you have a family vibe. Mm-hmm. You're not out there trying to get the biggest return on your buck of the thing.
We're not going for the CMAs.
No.
Right.
I mean, and you guys are in the making music and this kind of music were doing.
Yeah, the truth is that they saw girls and they, and Nashville at that time was missing that, was missing the girl thing.
Well,
you know.
Yeah, we said no, they put one together.
Yeah,
that's true.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah. Fuckers.
It was like,
sorry for your kids listening to the podcast.
It was when the Dixie Chicks weren't recording, and it was before the Pistol Annies got together.
Right.
And
before,
there was like, it was like this little moment there where they didn't, there was not this. And then when we said no, they put another group together. I can't remember the name.
AJ, of all people, was telling me he works with this girl named Kendall Beard, and she's a musician and songwriter as well. And he writes with her and produces the stuff. And then they went and had these meetings in Nashville, and she's a country artist. And they were basically saying, like, you should sing. Because there was one song that they did as a duet, and they were like, you should do everything together. Because in all these test marketing things that they've done, right, when a woman's voice comes on country radio, they change the station.
Right.
But you guys weren't really going for country radio.
No.
I mean, there's no kind of like, I mean, unless something just hit by accident. You know what I mean? Unless all of a sudden, you know.
They didn't know that, you know.
They didn't know that.
And
I don't know that Warner Chappell really knew that about us.
They didn't
either.
I think we got signed by Warner Chappell by someone who's really, really cool and knew that, kind of.
Yeah.
But then she left, too, because that's what happens in Nashville.
That's what happens in the whole thing.
They play musical chairs of who's the head of what department.
Oh, yeah.
Like, she had Tracy Gershon is also who signed my dad to his first publishing deal in Nashville.
Oh, really?
And she had a real vision. I think that she understood us and really liked what we were doing already. You know, wasn't up for like changing our deal at all, and had a vision for it. And then And she was a real advocate for us.
Yeah.
In Nashville, you know, in those circles. And then, yeah, she left Warner Chappell, and we just kind of got lost in the shuffle over there. And we weren't writing for country radio. And I think it was just kind of confusing because it was also like a development deal thing at Warner Chappell, right?
Right.
Yeah, before and you have like a record out and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That's
so
what
they
those
would
publishing
send people in that would go, okay, well, what kind of songs do y'all need for your record? Let's write that. And we were like, well, let's just write a song. And if
right.
it's a church song, we'll do it. We'll cut it. If it's not, then we'll pitch it. And that was kind of, we were coming from a songwriter's place.
And then
it
we
was
realized
an artist
that,
deal.
That it was only an artist deal, and they were not interested in that at all.
They weren't going to pitch songs, really. Yeah.
That yeah. happened to me with Warner Chappell, exactly that.
Really?
I remember going in and being like, hey, what about all this shit that nobody, that I don't play of mine, like, you know.
Yeah,
and they were like, "We don't care about that. Let's focus on your band. Let's focus on your band." Like that's what they really
right.
that's all they really cared about.
Right.
And I noticed that when I went in for writing sessions, I wasn't just writing a song for you. It was like, "Let's write the new Johnny Gowdy, you know, whatever
right.
jerk off
thing."
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
But we're glad we did it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Of course, going through that, you learn a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really educational in regards to, like. Just learning about the business in general and like the best way to approach it, and because there's definitely a way to do it. I mean, you see people like Chris Stapleton, and like what he's got, you know, how he's gotten to where he's at. I mean, it was a huge thing for me.
See that guy that nobody knew who he was, and then all of a sudden everyone knew who he was the next mm-hmm. day with the beard.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
yeah. yeah. I mean, well, he was with Steel Drivers for forever.
Who?
Steel Drivers.
Steel Drivers.
Forever. And but for him to have just won Best New Artist, like that's a huge, like. Step with like mainstream music in the right direction. I mean, he's not mainstream music
and new best right. new album, best new artist
for him to be yeah
male or something. And you know what? They're still not playing him on the radio.
Yeah.
He has the number one record in the country on all charts, and he's still not getting radio play.
Yeah, unless he's XM.
Country.
Yeah, wow. And that's the thing. Like that's a huge step in the right direction for it's like sweet
it
justice when that happens. So I mean, it can happen. It's just you know.
No, I know exactly what you mean. I remember maybe it wasn't this year, but a year ago I was watching the Country Music Awards, and Kacey Musgraves was the only real person on
right.
the thing. Oh, and Taylor Swift did it like a song pool with some dudes.
Yeah.
That was real cool.
Yeah.
And it was also the only real thing. There's like
right.
the Luke Bryan kind of like Jay-Z, Def Leppard, white
that.
Teeth
What's
sound,
that?
Which I don't understand.
God, it's just bad rock is what it is.
Yeah,
it's horrible.
It's like, well, they like rap and they like rock and they like country. Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
here.
Yeah.
It's just this terrible
Let's sing this really
mashup
bad
of music.
Rap song
yeah.
with a southern accent. That'll be a hit. And
yeah.
it is.
I think it makes them feel real tough. I think it makes those guys feel really tough when they get to rap. That's all I can think of.
Yeah, I don't even. I mean, they probably grew up on it too, because I mean, hip hop now, you know, these guys have grown up on it.
Like,
yeah,
and
right,
a lot of the people that saw the Chris Stapleton Tennessee Whiskey Justin Timberlake thing,
yeah,
you know, they didn't know that song was a George Jones song.
Yeah, most people
right,
don't.
No.
You know?
That nobody knew that. They were like, wow, this song is great. I'm like, that is the most country song that has ever existed. Like,
that,
you're as smooth as Tennessee Whiskey.
Yeah.
That's like,
yeah.
And you know, it was cool that Justin Timberlake, you know, this pop artist, it's like a huge, brought all of these other people into this country
thing. George
Jones.
Yes, that is
know?
Good.
And they sang the countryest song ever.
Yeah.
And it was a huge hit, which should tell everybody that people are craving real music.
Good music
yeah, stop
yeah.
running your banjo through a fucking phaser.
Yes. Like,
they,
yes.
I heard that the other day
it's
on the country radio.
Banjo.
Made me really
it's
mad. No,
banjo.
It could be one of those guitar banjos.
It's guitar banjos. Yeah,
get
I see
get
a
get
lot
Joe,
of those.
Banjo.
Get Joe.
Is it Get Joe?
Get Joe. Get Joe
so
what?
Don't
Get
you
Joe.
Feel
Little
like
Joe what?
Little Joe?
Little Joe?
I feel like there's two like there's two levels of that place. Like there's the Americana world where
well,
you guys
yeah.
fit in,
right.
and
but
it's
that's
in
the
Nashville.
Thing. Our record when we released that How Wide and Handsome record.
Yeah,
I can't even remember who said this to us, but the feedback that we were getting was that it was too country for Americana, too Americana
country
for country.
It was, I remember who it was. Do you want to know who
yeah,
it was?
Yeah, 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 yeah.
It was Kim Bowie. At 30 Tigers.
30 Tigers. Yeah. Which, you know, I mean, I don't know. Which I mean, maybe her perspective, I'm sure there was some, you know, something valuable in that perspective.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, that stumped us because Americana has always been like the catch-all for songwriters that are doing kind of roots country. There's so many different genres that are, it's a mix, it's a
You can
pot,
even be a person, so. One of you guys, I saw a photo of just sitting there playing an omnicord somewhere, or was that Brandy?
It was Brandy.
Definitely.
But like even you can be that guy in your Americana, or that lady.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, her new album's fantastic, by the way.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, I don't know. Whenever the Gougers, the band that I was in before, we were on, we did Americana also, and I remember whenever one time they published the Americana chart on the back of the Rolling Stone, and we were in the like top 10 at that point, and we bought all the Rolling Stones ever, and we're like, we're on the cover of the Rolling, but
on the back cover.
On the we're on the back cover of the Rolling Stone.
Flip it over.
But Britney Spears was on the front. That was kind of awesome.
Nice.
But in the top 10 at that point, it was like Merle Haggard, Emmylou Lou, some T-Bone Burnett project.
All the Bruce real country people.
Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah.
Like, it was the weirdest. It was like Keb Moe and Us.
Right.
And then a bunch, like, these people don't, like, fit with each other, but they all fit with each other in Americana because they don't belong anywhere.
Yeah.
It's anybody who doesn't belong in any other chart goes here.
But then is Americana...
And why is Merle Haggard not on the country anyway?
Right. because the stuff that we associate with the... That's the other thing, too, is then I get mad at myself. I actually did a whole thing on my podcast after I watched that CMAs. Like, am I closed-minded and I expect country music to sound a certain way? You know what I mean?
I know
like,
what
is
you
that...
Mean.
Is that our hang up? Because we want a guy up there, like, making us cry with some sad things as opposed to, yo, what's up? What's up?
I think part of it
is real. We just want it to be real.
What Kel's saying is, I think the big thing, which is one of the reasons, like, I've forever been grateful for how all three of these girls are, is I think it's just more, you can tell when someone's doing music that's them and when it's more of a forced thing. And, I mean, that was the thing with us. You know, we always just stuck with, we wanted to sound like us.
Yeah.
Right.
And do what we, like, liked and wanted to do something that we respected. And I think you can tell the difference between an artist that's, like, even if whether I like it or not, I can, like, respect it.
Because
I can totally tell, like, that's them.
Yeah.
And I think that's, like, a huge thing about all of kind of Americana and why it's such a big variety of music is it's kind of like, where else do those people go?
Yeah. And one time I heard, I was having this conversation with Bruce Robinson. Remember that time that we were in the Bristol, Tennessee in the hotel bar with Kelly Willis, Bruce Robinson, and Susie Boggess?
That's so awesome.
Sitting in a booth. And anyway, I was like, who am I right now? This is awesome. But Bruce said that night that country music used to be for grown-ups. Like, pop music used to be for the kids, and then country music used to be the adult things.
Yeah.
You know, like, you sing about real life.
Yeah. I lost my job. My wife left me.
Yeah.
Bad shit. Yeah.
Yeah. Or
not like Marianne.
My
will you go with me?
Yeah. And
down a dirt road.
Yeah. Yeah. And not like, hey girl, come sit in my truck and wear your painted on jeans. Like, it's not that. It used to not be that.
Yeah.
And now they're trying to do country music for the pop crowd. And the result is crap. So,
yeah, they're trying to be everything to people, and you can't just let it be what it is.
And there's nothing for grown-ups, like
Americana.
Which is like Americana,
And then, like,
that's it.
I mean, I get what you're saying, though. I think that that's a smart question.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
It's very introspective.
I was
going to
say,
you.
Very Buddhist of you. Yeah, very, very Buddhist of you to ask that question. But I think, really, It's that the definition has changed.
Right.
And so it can't be our hang up because it's like, it's changing. If they, they should call it something other than country and keep calling country music country.
Right.
Is how I feel about it. But that's not going to ever happen.
They're not going to do that for you. Savannah.
Savannah said.
So now we call country music Americana and pop country is
totally
pop country.
It's pop country.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it'll probably keep changing, all of that.
Yeah, and you know, the truth is that whenever Ray Price came out, he was a crossover.
Yeah.
Like, you know, how did the people that were making real, you know, how did Hank Snow feel about Ray Price?
Right.
When he started adding, you know, orchestras to to help me make it through the night.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Sure. And so it evolves all the time, except for the thing is that the subject matter was the same. The approach to the songs were different, which is fine, but it's still a good song.
Yeah.
Like, those songs are still good songs.
Yeah.
They just had more of the, you know, because it was big band at the time, like,
right,
was the pop music.
Right.
And so then they brought the big band to the country songs and made this other thing.
Right.
But the songs were still good.
Yeah.
Like, if they were adding, you know, all of that shit to... If they were putting rap in the middle of songs that were actually legitimately good, then I'd be like, okay, you got me. That's a good song. I don't like your production, but it's a good song.
Yeah.
You know? And now they're just not even good songs.
I was having a conversation with somebody just the other day about that with dance music. Because I love dance music. But the dance music that's happening now, it's literally sound effects for people on drugs. Like it is. It's like just these weird kind of like, and there's no thing. But like a Donna Summer song, that it was a good song.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
I Will Survive was a dance hit, but it was also a good song.
It was a good song. Yeah. You're right.
Wow. Bastards. I didn't know what was happening in the current world of dance music. That's awful.
I know. Awful. It's terrible. No, I mean, there's occasionally things that I like. I mean, I like electronic music a lot, but I like it. I like it when it's, you know what I mean? Not just when it's for like song. A 14-year-old kid on Molly.
Yeah.
Like, no offense, kids don't do Molly. I don't even know what that is. Is Molly ecstasy?
I don't know what it is.
Molly's my sister-in-law.
Do you know
Let me tell you something. Everybody's doing her.
Who's on her?
Everybody's doing her.
Excuse me.
The kids are all doing her. So, no.
All the kids.
Preteens.
Flocking.
I'm calling her husband.
So when you went in to make when you first went in to make your EP, how did you do that? Like, what did you guys finance it yourselves? And
the first EP?
Yeah, yeah.
By finance, you mean just go into the studio and
did you talk to somebody and they said, "Hey, we'll do this"? Or, yeah, you paid. Yeah,
yeah. It was we saved up a couple.
We paid for both of our.
Yeah,
records.
We paid for both
Good.
Of our. Good.
I like that.
We didn't have to. But we went in with our friends. With do you know John Silva? He's
I know
a drummer.
That name.
He's been our. He was our drummer for a long time, but he runs Cedar Creek Studio here.
Okay.
And he's a great sound engineer, and he's a great drummer, which is convenient whenever you need those things.
Yeah.
And and then Scott Davis, who he plays now with the Band of Heathens, but he's played with everybody, and he's just a multi-instrumentalist, extremely talented musician.
And you guys went in
and
four.
We went in with those two, okay. And they made in some songs that we had. Already, you know.
The funny story is the Todd story.
Which Todd story?
Todd Snyder.
Oh yeah.
We were gonna do our record
with Todd Snyder.
No
our
shit.
Our High Wide and Handsome record. Whenever we were ready to make a full
Yeah.
No. The EP.
The EP.
This is the EP.
Well, I remember being somewhere one night and like Raul Malo was gonna produce you guys at one point and like just.
Yeah, we went in and did a couple songs with him at Bismo. One time that was interesting too.
They were good. He's also Cuban.
He is Cuban.
he is
very Cuban.
Yeah.
You don't say.
Oh, really?
But Todd Snyder,
we were on our way to Nashville, all loaded up in the van.
Coming to get me.
Coming to get Lizzie. Yeah. And
coming to get me in Dallas, I think.
Yeah.
I was at my folks.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. We were on our way up and got a call from our manager. That was also his manager that said, Todd can't do it anymore.
This weekend.
Because he he needs to go be emotional support for Billy Joe Shaver at his trial.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
They had asked him
Which
to be
I read
character
on Twitter.
Witness.
Yeah.
They'd asked Todd to come be a character witness.
Which is interesting.
For whenever Billy Joe Shaver allegedly shot that guy in the face.
Yeah.
And so,
he did ask the guy where he wanted it.
He did shoot the guy in the face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he did say, where do you want it? And then he did write a song about that. Or did did Dale Watson write a song about Where Do You Want It? Anyway, there's a song about that now.
Okay, so
that was the only weekend that I think that we'd blocked, right, to record this thing. And
so we went to the bar.
We were,
I remember I don't remember what street it was, but we were here in Austin, like, at a stop sign, and we were going to take a right to go to the highway, and we took a left and went to Botticelli's.
Oh, yeah.
And
good
went,
place.
And I was pregnant, so I couldn't take a shot, but I think they gave me one of, like, some Sprite or something.
And that's when we decided to just, like, do it.
Yeah, that's when.
Do it here.
Yeah.
And then so what about then, High, Wide, and Handsome? Who's the guy? Mike Poole.
Yeah, he was... He is Buddy Miller's engineer.
I am.
Who does all of his stuff. And
that's a good guy to have there.
He's great.
He works with Gillian and David Rawlings. Gillian Welch and David Rawlings a lot. And
he does Nashville.
Does Nashville
that
stuff.
Show.
Yeah.
Show.
Hey, do you guys watch that show?
Oh,
did
yeah.
you get?
I do too.
Get up in there and talk.
I haven't seen any of this season yet.
Okay.
No.
I tried to watch it. I had a couple of friends that were like, dude, you got to watch it. You're going to love it. And then there was some girl they were trying to get on my show that wrote a song on there. There's a girl from here that wrote a song on there.
Jada.
Like wrote the song or something. Or like
is Jada
from
cool.
here? No, she's not from
she's
here.
Not
Jada.
From Canada.
I don't know. Anyway, so then
Maren
I went
Morris,
to watch it.
She's in that
Maren.
Camp.
I bet it was
Maren,
Maren
Morris.
Yeah.
Maybe. But I went to watch it and I was like, this is like.
It's a soap opera.
Yeah, it's like Knott's Landing or something.
Yeah.
But like people
nice
write
reference.
Songs. Yeah, I know. I'm super old. That's terrible.
Yeah. Stop calling me.
Aunt.
Wolfson.
Aunt Pat.
God,
no, it's Wolfson.
Is that Wolfson again?
Yeah. Do you ever see that? That's his rendition of us.
That is amazing. Uh-huh.
I feel like we need to describe it for everyone.
Yeah. Wow. There's a very angry man with red hair.
And he gave me blue eyes. That was so criminal. I was like, man, you... I'm a photographer, and you've been taking pictures of me for decades, and
they're
my
green,
eyes are green, bro. Bro.
I thought you were my bro, bro.
I thought you were my bro, bro. So you do watch it. It is how reflective of real life is that, and have any of you ever met Connie Britton?
I've met Connie.
She
you
was
have?
In the movie with us.
She was?
Yeah, she was in Angel Sing in the Harry Connick Jr.
We have met Connie Britton.
Do you love
I
her?
Forgot about
do
that.
I do. I think she's the coolest. She is the coolest.
I met her one night at the San Jose.
Oh,
it
yeah?
It was like during a film, maybe South by Film Fest week or something. And she was hanging out with Dana Wheeler Nicholson.
Oh, yeah. Love Dana.
And
love
I just,
her too.
Yeah, I just hung with her for,
Tombstone
I mean, there was a group of people, but I got to talk to her for.
Dana's been on the
yeah,
show.
About 20 minutes. Oh, Dana has? Nice. Mm-hmm. But Connie was awesome. She's very sweet, very grounded, you know.
Yeah, she seems that way.
Yeah. You know, they all do their own singing in that show. Like,
I do.
All the actors are
I know
actually
that that's
singing,
the thing.
So that's cool.
T-Bone doesn't do all the music anymore, does
no.
he?
No.
He passed it off to somebody.
Buddy.
But he did, like, the first season. Who?
Buddy Miller
does? Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
He's still music supervisor.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's one of the coolest parts of the show to me is just to see, like, because there's a lot of great songwriters that get songs on there.
Yeah.
So it's
the music
cool to
is
like
good.
It's cool to see like, oh, like that's awesome. Like so and so song is on
so,
there.
So
yeah.
Do they address it all the bits sorry.
Well, I was gonna say growing up in Nashville, like, you know, I mean I was not an adult, so I don't know, maybe some of those things were happening and I wasn't privy to them. There but it's
like
Austin sleeping where
around and stuff.
Yeah, I mean it's like, you know, there it's small town, you know, so and so's dating so and so's ex girlfriend and that some of that's happening. You know,
I don't know if it happens
maybe
on
there's
the level
some
of the fame.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Like it's not
that's
like,
the thing that seems really...
What's happening right now with Miranda Lambert and Chuck E. Cheese?
Allegedly.
What? Who's Chuck E. Cheese? I don't know about this.
I couldn't think of his name.
Chuck E.
Cheese. That's amazing.
I'm real Blakey good friends
Poop.
With him. I call
and then
him Chuck E. Cheese.
Gwen, and Christina Aguilera kind of play like the Gwen thing, and Christina Aguilera on the Nashville show.
Is she
I don't
there?
Know.
Okay.
But yeah, and then some of like the politics, true. You know, how they have like the mayor, what's his name, in the show. Maybe, I don't know. It's soapy. It just, it's TV. So it takes like the truth of like the reality of kind of what happens and then just totally glorifies it and romanticizes it. And exaggerates
and
it.
And if it was like real life, it wouldn't be interesting enough.
Yeah, but yeah. It's funny because people that have never been to Nashville, like, or that are hooked on the show, like, they go to Nashville because of the show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, like, the Bluebird on the TV show, like, that's not how
no.
it is.
Right.
And the last time I was at the Bluebird, like, there was a mom and her teenage daughter that had come in
just do it.
To, because they watched the show.
Yeah.
And we, you know, little situate tables together, and they were sitting with my buddy, and they were, like, talking, and someone was like, y'all need to, like, be quiet, like, when people were playing. And the mom was, like, livid. She's like, this is nothing like the show, and, like, grabbed her daughter, and they left.
For people that have no,
but you can't blame them. Like, that's what they just assume it's
right,
like
right.
until they
I never saw paparazzi growing up.
To know that it's, like, to know that it's Bluebirds in a strip mall.
Yeah.
In the show, it's in a strip mall?
No, or in real life.
Okay, yeah.
It's in a strip mall.
But they make it not in a strip mall.
I don't think that they show that it is or not.
Yeah.
But, like, I told my sister, was like, have you ever been to the Bluebird? And I was like, yeah. Do you know it's in a strip mall? And she's like, it's a what?
Yeah. She's like, you've ruined everything.
It's like the whole image of the Bluebird in my head now is different.
So, yeah. Like, there's a lot of people in Nashville that aren't a part of that scene at all.
Right.
That don't care. I mean, right. I grew up going to the Bluebird from a very small age, and I was not a cool kid in school, you know?
Like, right, right.
For example, there's a lot of people that just, they're not a part of that world.
Right.
I mean, probably the majority of them.
I'm sorry you weren't cool.
Me too.
Sad.
You're not cool. I was at my Montessori school until I hit the big time public.
Oh, yeah, they'll run you out.
Yeah.
It's not the same mentality.
No, it's not.
No. I like Montessori school.
Yeah.
Your kids go to Montessori?
My kids are in Montessori right now. They're 2/3 of the enrollment in Hondo. There's only 3 kids. And
do
I have 2 of them.
Okay. Yeah. Is Charlie going to do Montessori?
He already started a Montessori school this year. Last year.
Oh, because he's 3?
Yeah. He'll be 4 in January. Damn. So last year he did like this school that's sort of a Montessori Waldorf merger. Like both of those philosophies are really rigid and you can't bring in any other kind of philosophy into
it. Right.
So this school doesn't call themselves either, but they do both.
Wow.
And he really loved it. But then we were on this waiting list for this other school that's supposed to be one of the best ones in Dallas, and it's there's a lot of appealing things about it. It was closer to us and had a lot of resources. They basically have a farm and a huge garden and like animals. And anyway, so we got in. We kind of somehow like skipped the line because they needed a 3-year-old boy essentially. And so we started there. And for whatever, I've got my personal beliefs about it, but it didn't work for him. He hated it. And I don't think it had anything to do with the Montessori philosophy. I think. Honestly, it had to do with the teacher.
Right.
It had a lot to do. It was all to do with the teachers that he had, and he hated it. And it took just a few days of him, like, refusing to go in, and the last day he was just, like, shaking. And I just went, no, we're not doing this. And there was a spot open in the old school, and he's, like, a pig in shit, and he loves it.
Oh.
So they bring in a lot of Waldorf philosophy. The only Waldorf school in all of Texas is here in Austin.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't really know what their philosophy is, but I do remember kids going there when I was a kid.
You do?
Yeah.
Did you grow up here?
No, but I had friends here. Like, I used to come up here.
Did you grow up in Houston?
A little bit in Houston.
Yeah.
like Houston, I lived here when I was a teenager for like a little over a year before my mom died, but I was already like 16, or I was 15 when I moved here. And I lived in Miami. I went to the same high school that Raul Mala went to.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we had a long talk about that one night.
Nice. I bet that's it was the only a conversation. Very long talk.
I can't even imagine Rudy as a high schooler.
I wish y'all were in the same yearbook together.
He was a swimmer.
I think he might be older than me. I think he might be a couple years older than me.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, yeah, for sure.
But I remember when I moved to Miami and I was a musician, I moved from here. People were like, oh, yeah, there's a guy there. They started a country band and they're going to be big. Because then they come out like in the late 80s, mm-hmm. the Mavericks.
Mm-hmm.
But they started in Miami, right?
Yeah.
It was actually Tracy Gershon that
Tracy
brought him to Nashville.
Yeah.
Really? Is she related to Gina Gershon?
Yeah, sister. Yeah,
that's her sister. I knew that she had a sister in the business.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's cool, Gina Gershon.
Yeah, I think she's cool. I've never met her, but Tracy's
awesome.
I bet
she does, yeah.
I remember seeing Gina.
So did you grow up in Houston or around
Houston? I mean, I was in Houston, in the Woodlands. I lived in the Heights.
Cool.
I had, like, one of my first, like, real band of my own. We were managed by Fitzgerald's.
Oh, yeah.
And I lived, like, right down the street from them.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's a cool place.
Yeah, that is a cool place. It's still around.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily. It's kind of leaning to the side.
You ever seen?
Yeah. When I see it now, I'm like, aw.
I probably won't get that there anymore because it might fall down.
It's always looked like it was going to fall down.
It's still there.
So what is there any plan? Do the Trishas have any? There's no shows on the books except for last night. There's nothing, anything on the books. You guys did a
we're
cool.
We're probably about to start talking about that.
Mm-hmm. When you leave
Maybe
here?
When we leave
Actually, when we get in the car.
Great right. timing. We have nothing to promote.
I mean, they can go to thetrishas.com. That's the best. Yeah. That's the best kind. Because
will probably be a thing in the spring.
Okay, yeah. I've wanted you guys to come on the show as a group for a long. I think since you might have been on my list of before I started the show, people.
Oh, since you were born. Oh.
Since I was born. Since before any of you guys were born.
The first dream you remember having was...
when I was just in my Speedo on the beach
ascot.
Smoking a cigar in a mojito.
Yeah.
In ascot.
With your ascot.
My hair slicked back in a very thin pencil mustache. so no plans yet. How was the show? I saw pictures of it, and I love hanging out there, Madison Square Park.
Man, it was fun. It was great.
Was it that like that Austin? I remember I was in New York one time and the Roosevelts texted me and they were like, oh, we're going to be playing at this thing. And I was like, oh, come down to it. So me and my friend Corey walked down there and it was like Austin. Like there was a giant
really?
Austin sign on the stage. It was like,
really?
No. I didn't come here for this.
I didn't come to New York for this.
But yeah.
No, it was just an Americana series that they have.
Okay.
They do a... like a series of series
with the Hill Country,
I guess.
Is it like involved?
No, but it's they do like four blues shows in the summer,
okay.
And then they'll do
four Americana
shows once a month. You know, that kind of a thing. Like they have a different theme every few months or
it's
whatever.
It's like the Madison Square Park Conservancy.
Yeah. I've played a couple of fundraisers for them.
Yeah,
it was really cool. We were the last one in that series, and it was free. So when the music starts, everybody comes over there.
Yeah.
And it was a lot of fun. And we got to go spend 3 days in New York.
Yeah, the best.
Yeah. And
did you play any other shows there?
No. But the Heathens were there in town.
Oh, that's cool.
So we went to their show that night. And Brandy Zidane, who plays with us, she had a show the night before. So we all
that's great.
That
and
we did one online.
We did a concert window.
Oh, that's cool.
Online. That was really awesome.
The night before. It was like our online broadcasted rehearsal.
Oh, that's good.
Let's
make some money on this rehearsal.
Lizzie's
first trip to New York.
Yeah, it was my first time.
That was?
Yeah. I loved it. And we kept saying the whole time, like, nothing went wrong. And every day we were like, something's going to happen.
And Lizzie actually pulled a, hey, I'm walking here thing.
I did. Yeah. I might have kicked a cab
the
first time.
Cat,
I'm Christopher
Walken.
I was fully sober.
Yeah.
And we had the right of way and a cab almost ran us over.
That's true. It was true. And then she was like, what's wrong with you? And I was like, Lizzie.
You gotta rock the full alert when you're walking around down there because you don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah. Well, and I wasn't like being one of the jackasses that like walks and you're not supposed to walk.
Right.
A law-abiding citizen who almost got run over by a cab.
So. Still, you got
it. But it was...
It really was.
Here. I mean, you know.
I mean, it was perfect. We hit everything.
Like, touring through New York, I'm sure you've done this multiple times, and it can be a huge pain in the ass and a headache and just logistics and parking and load-ins.
Gear.
And gear. And van rental and just driving
everything.
The city.
Everything.
And it was so smooth for us the whole time.
Just had your guitars.
It was it was really smooth. And actually our a friend of ours in-laws have a loft apartment.
Oh, nice.
Right even a loft, but yeah.
It ended
a condo
up being like
in the building right across the street from us. So we could look out the window and see the stage. So our load in was awesome. Like,
no, and then we promised that we wouldn't tell anybody.
Because we felt like assholes.
Because we felt like assholes. Because load in in New York is just such a pain. Yeah, or somebody's lapping the block.
Yeah.
During sound check or something, and
we just walked over. Like I walked over to the stage and was like, "Hey, can we borrow one of those carts?" Like. From the Shake Shack. Like,
we didn't even have that much gear.
And then we went to the elevator at the hotel and loaded our stuff.
The
and
condo.
Then went back
walked
to
across the street.
The Shake Shack's little cart.
Thank you, Shake Shack.
Thanks,
Shake Shack. This episode was brought to you by Shake Shack.
Thank you, Shake Shack.
You know who's on the board of that conservancy?
Who?
Lester Holt.
Really?
He does the news on NBC now. He's a nightly news guy. Yeah, but we do these in Skyrocket. We've done a couple of the fundraisers for them.
Yeah,
and he somehow, I don't know. I think it's just because I freaked out on him when I met him. Like I fucking freaked out on him, like totally. Like I love the news.
I love the news.
And I just like when I meet news people, even if it's like a weather guy from like San Antonio, I'm just fucking stoked. I'm like, the news.
Man, Paul Morales follows me on Twitter. Things.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
See?
It's an amazing feeling. He's a weatherman in San Antonio. No big deal.
There you go.
Oh, is that Paul Morales?
See? I mean, don't you guys get that way?
I do.
No? I don't know. There's certain professions. Like, if you're a fireman.
Bill Baeza
or a
in
news
Houston?
Guy. Dude, love Bill Baeza.
Come on.
Love Bill Baeza.
See, wow. We're on the same team here.
He's still on TV. I saw him the other day, and I was like, hey, he's still on the show.
Well, this is like going home.
Yeah.
Y'all could like have your own podcast about newscasters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We totally could. Yeah. We could do a whole show just about Marvin Zindler.
Oh,
don't even get me started.
Slime in the ice machine.
Well, you know, Marvin Zindler is very famous. He's very famous outside of that. He's the guy.
Marvin Zindler.
He's the guy that.
Eyewitness News.
Yeah. There you go. Slime in the Ice Machine. He died. I met him a couple times when I was a kid.
And then they got the singers. Did you ever hear the?
No. Once he got the singers, I thought he sold out.
Yeah, it was like they had a jingle whenever they would go around to kitchens and do like the restaurant thing. But
yeah, he was like the consumer reporter.
He would come
reporter.
And tell everybody which restaurants had slime in the ice machine.
Yeah. Well, his claim to fame and the reason why he's famous. Or the reason why he became famous was because he was the guy that blew the whistle on the Chicken Shack, the best little whorehouse in Texas, the whorehouse in LaGrange. He was the guy that put an end to it all. Yeah. That's how he got famous. That's how he became
Marvin Zindler. Because there was slime in their ice machine.
Whoa. Okay. So, that was amazing.
I learned something new about Jamie Lynn every
day. Jamie Lynn Wilson.
Every day.
Slime in the ice machine. I think that's going to be one of my favorite moments ever on the podcast. Because they had slime in their ice machine. And you know, everybody that listens to this show that is from that era in Houston is just crying laughing right now. And the other people are like, what the hell is he talking about?
The other people are like them going,
Change channel.
That's
find some news.
You can't change a channel.
Pause.
Okay, so no plans yet, but people can go to thetrishas.com to get all their information and find out when you'll be playing again.
Yes.
Pick up the albums. You also have some merchandise. I saw a hat that I like.
Yeah.
We'll send you one.
You really?
Yeah. Well, we might have one.
Which one? Is
really?
We might have one in the car.
It's the one for the album, High, Wide, and Handsome.
Yeah, it's a
and it has that. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I love that hat.
Okay. In the car for you.
I love that hat.
I love it.
I need to get three of them. And so, also, just real quick, your plans for 2016, I saw that you're playing a songwriter festival
in I'm doing 38.
Florida.
Mm-hmm. In January.
Okay.
It's like the third weekend in January or something.
Okay.
Cool. Kelly and I will be at Music Fest in Steamboat.
Yeah. Oh, yeah?
At the beginning of January.
And people can go to jamielynwilson.com and kellymickwee.com to find out when you guys are playing.
Yeah.
You got...
And Savannah's going to be with her dad and her brother in December. I don't know when this is going to be out.
Oh, you guys do the Welch family. When is that? I'll tell you.
That is, next month we're doing December 17th is Wimberley. The 18th is in Conroe at the Dosido.
Oh, cool.
The Woodlands. The 19th in Fort Worth at the Live Oak Theater.
Nice.
And then the 21st we're doing John D. Graham.
I saw
William
that.
Graham's, the Fam Jam thing at Strange Brew.
Yeah, you know what sucks? I got what? No jamming family people.
I know, me neither.
No one's going to invite me to one of those fucking things.
Well, you're not allowed then.
Be in her family.
You could be an honorary Welch.
I tried to be. Totally, I thought that that was discussed at some point. In
John,
the,
you
want to
be
the...
my brother? We can tell people we're brothers.
Okay. Sister. Yeah.
No, I mean, I think that we've kind of claimed him at one point.
You did. I remember when you said that, honorary Welch. I was like, wait a minute. I think that I had enough neuroses.
Yeah.
And
you're like Dusta's big brother.
And weird enough eyes.
What the f- does yeah. that mean?
No, just kidding. Everyone has weird
neuroses,
eyes.
You have enough neuroses and weird eyes to be a Welch. I can dig
and
it.
And I can sing.
I can dig it. Yeah. Yeah, so we're going to do that show. It's fun. I think the Allens are on it, and the McMurtries, and the Grahams, and Gilmore's.
What about the Sextons? They don't get any family time? I guess they're old family. Like, oh, those guys. Well, we
Will
already know about
live
them.
Here anymore.
Oh,
live
yeah.
Here.
No, he doesn't. He's in Memphis.
Yeah.
Wow. With Amy.
Yeah.
Huh. That's sad.
I don't know. That family.
I know.
They're too cool for school.
Is there anything going on with you, Liz, this new year?
Like at this moment?
I don't know.
You guys want to be
maybe on the latest?
Yeah. Not right now. Nope. Unless we do something. And...
You and Kelly?
Yeah, just Kelly and okay. I.
Kelly and I are actually releasing a duo at this moment.
Okay.
We're going to go to Russia next year.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, that's going to be great.
I know.
So, those of you listening in Russia, yeah. go to KellyMickley.com and find out when she's coming. There are people that listen in Russia.
Trishas.
Oh, the Trishas are. Yeah. Oh, when I asked you guys what you're doing in 2016.
Well, it's because we were going to do, it was going to be March and it just got changed. So now it's up in the air for wind. So
okay.
It's,
but Russians, look out for
the fall. Yeah.
The wow, what? In Moscow. It's new children's
it's book. It's actually a private party.
Private.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah. But we might plan it around this festival that they're having
yeah.
or something. So that'll be...
Yeah.
We'll be able to do a public thing, too.
Mm.
And I don't know. It'll be fun.
Yeah. Russia.
I can't think of any other reason that I'd ever go to Russia, so that's why I'm excited about it.
Are you going to take kids? No.
No.
I'm not going to take them there. They could get kidnapped and have their kidneys stolen.
Yeah, then I'm going to be like in a...
Not you guys.
Not us, no. Then I'm going to be in that movie like where that guy's daughter keeps getting kidnapped and there are three of them now.
Yeah, Taken.
Yeah.
Liam Neeson.
Yeah.
Is
yeah.
That it is?
Like, stop. Watch your kids and then they won't get kidnapped. Yeah, terrible luck when you're traveling.
Is there anything I'm missing out of this whole thing before we draw this to a close? I really enjoyed talking to you. Thank you for coming over.
Thank
this is
having.
Like maybe, I think only Kelly Willis and my friend Bruce Mahart were episodes that were done this early.
Really?
Yeah. Kelly's was Kelly's parents? Was like at 8 in the morning cause because we did it after
kiddos.
She dropped the kids at school. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
and then,
why.
Yeah. My friend Bruce.
It's my husband's birthday today.
Oh, it is? Oh. Happy birthday.
Roy.
Happy birthday, Roy.
Happy birthday, 39. Roy. He's excited because he's wanted to be 40 since he was like 12.
Really?
Yeah. He
he's
likes,
like, I've been working on this a long time.
Yeah. Yeah, he's wanted gray hair for a long time. What? And
he was born with a pipe, actually.
Yeah.
And a mustache.
That he made. He made it in the womb.
Yeah, out of mesquite. He hand whittled a pipe out of mesquite wood in the womb.
And a little serrano pepper in his diaper.
Yeah.
We should dedicate this conversation. I actually was going to ask Todd when I called him this morning originally. I was like, hey, why don't you just come over and take pictures of us doing this?
Yeah.
Because you like us both.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he said...
No, he hates us all now.
Oh, yeah. Dude.
He called your phone and we answered it and pretended to be you. And now he hates us all.
I got a lot of
sorry,
work to
Todd.
Do.
He actually was messaging. He's like, you dickhead. He's like, wow.
I hope you guys have a great rest of your Thanksgiving weekend. And thank you so much for coming over. Happy birthday, Roy.
Thank you. On his behalf.
Yeah. Go to thetrishas.com. It links to all of your individual things. Savannah's resume is linkable.
Really?
Yeah, totally. It's amazing.
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome.
And challenge her to soccer or volleyball whenever you see her.
Whatever.
Yeah. What can you speak other languages?
Did I have languages
Spanish.
In there?
No,
I think
there
Spanish
was there,
is on
it was
there.
Some
dialects.
There
was some dialects.
There was a
there
Latin.
Was like,
there was a Latin dialect.
No.
Yes, yeah. There was Southern, and then there was also.
Then,
what do you mean? I'm saying to you. Can you?
There's because I saw it for some reason. I looked at it the other day.
I did not say that about it. I did not say.
It's like Southern accent and the Texas accent.
Oh, there's two.
Oh, yeah, of course there
is. It was one of those things where you go down, like, the checkbox. Uh-huh. Like, sure, I can do that. Okay, I can kind of do that.
Casting agents. Savannah Welch is available with all those special skills you need. Thank you guys for coming. Jamie Lynn Wilson, Liz Foster, Savannah Welch, and a very whispery Kelly McWee. The Trishas. It's great to have them on, man. You can find them at thetrishas.com. You can pick up their music. You can still pick up their merch. You can pick up vinyl albums. You can still do it, man. They're still out there. They're still getting together and doing shows. You can find them on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. You can also find Kelly McWee at kellymcwee.com and Jamie Lynn Wilson at jamielynwilson.com. Pick up their records. Get on down. And also Brandy Zadan. She's got a new album out. She's amazing. You can find her at brandyzadan.com. She's the one that was missing, but we had the four originals. They were here. It was great having them on. Great talking to them. Finally, I've been trying to get them on since the show started. So, yeah, while you're out there checking out the Trishas on iTunes and Spotify and whatnot, don't forget that you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. You can also find us on Stitcher where you can stream your podcast. Hey, you stream your movies, you stream your music, why not stream your podcast? All right, let's hear some more music from the Trishas from their beautiful album, High, Wide, and Handsome. I want to thank them for the hat that they gave me. I wore it to a meeting the next day, and everyone said, hey, what a cool hat. So thank you guys. I love you guys very much. They're very cool. The Trishas. Get out there and check them out, all right? Thank you so much for listening. You guys have a great day, whatever it is you're doing. Enjoy it. Let's get down.
Just right, it's you who's kissing me goodnight when the morning.